You know, it's possible to so use a microscope till you get addicted to it and you can't see beyond, you know, our own little world. There's a move of God on this planet today around this world equal to the day of Pentecost. May not be happening right where we are, but it will as we faithful, true to God. I just came back from one of the most difficult trips that I've ever made, and I've made a lot of them, but we begun in Israel. We have been going there. We have the school, both the Arabic and the Hebrew language, and it's very difficult there. They're trying to get rid of the Christians. You know, the Jewish Orthodox think no more of us than the Muslims do. You know, it's just a point in time. And I began there, and it was an awesome thing. My message to them was, can these bones live, dealing with Israel? You know, dealing with that nation of Israel, I said, you know, bones always speak of former life, always. You know, you see a bone, you know something lived there. And Israel, you know, when Jesus cursed that fig tree, it was prophetic of the nation. He went to Jerusalem. There, you know, he wept over it. The tree died overnight. He spoke of the death of that nation. 3.5 years after that, Titus and his Roman army, or 40 years after, excuse me, overran. 1.5 million Jews died, and they were scattered to the ends of the world, never to be regathered till this time. Well, in 1948, you know, they came back, but they came back just like they left, dead. They came back spiritually dead, and this was a prophecy. Can these bones live? And I've dealt with the fact she will survive, she will live. She's got a date with the Antichrist, she will accept the wrong one, but then when the image is set up, but we're in a very momentous time of history. Christ, surely we are that final generation. It's not a time for us to be careless. It's a time to set our affections totally upon things above. That bridal company will be a people that have forsook all in an effort to be his disciple. If any man comes after me, he's not willing to forsake all that he hath, he cannot. Cannot be my disciple. That's God's word to us in this room. And we're there. I went from there, though, to Ukraine. We had 1,000 of our students in the Ukraine was fast in prayer time. From there, though, the next three countries, very difficult countries, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia. Unbelievable what God is doing. The testimonies coming out of that, of what God is doing in that world of Islam. They're coming at night, and they're coming to be saved. One of our young students in Bangladesh, a very, very difficult country, he felt after he got out of school that God would have him to begin a church in a very difficult, pretty violent Islamic place where he went into. And a Muslim man let him rent one of his houses for the church because the law is you cannot reach out to Muslims. Well, he begun, and a few come in that were not Islamic and were wonderfully born again, and many miracles happened among them. He said God just worked, making known to him he was in the right place. And a Muslim man came to him and said, I've heard testimonies of those that are coming of what God is doing. And he had I may be wrong on the age, but a 4 or 5 year old son, and said he may be dead now. He can't live. I left to come here to talk to you. My young son is ill. He cannot live. Can this Jesus they're telling me about heal my boy? And when the young man, maybe 25 years old, the pastor, he said, when I began to pray, going to pray, laid hands on the father, going to pray for the son, but instead of praying, I said, you go home, your son is well. And he went home, and that son is as well as he ever a four-year-old could be. And he's won 25 Muslims and 12 Hindus that one man has brought into that church. Amen. Now, I'll tell you, this is a moment of history to be excited about, folks. We look at our own little corner, and it don't look like much. But I can tell you, we just put a little high rim on this. Amen. But there is things going on. That's all right. Yeah. That's beyond words. There's a testimony out there. I listened. I had a doctor, a very fine medical doctor from Mississippi, retired, now works with me, and over that part of Israel of the School of Christ. And he said, you know, we're reliving the book of Acts. He said, it's one thing to see on the screen, but to go and to hear, to see what God is doing. How wonderful it is. You know, we begun a conference like this in 1980. I was pastor in Beaumont, Texas. And the preachers that came that night, we put them in the choir. There was 24 of them. The last one, there was about 800 of us. I expect next year, if Jesus tarries, us to see that. Amen. You know, this is going to be a yearly affair. We'll get the time set for it, where it'll be the same every year. You know, Jesus said for us to come aside. You know, come apart. And rest of us. We don't do that. We just come apart. That's all. You know, if you don't have time to stop, then you don't have time. But there's never any time lost in the journey when you stop to seek God. Never. When you stop to pray, you stop to seek the Lord. And we're going to be here, you know, in the morning. You didn't give the schedule, did you? We begin 6 o'clock to 7 with a prayer meeting. Now, if you're really serious about knowing God and God meeting you, then you'll be here with us at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's just the way that is. We'll be here to seek God, to lay hold of God. Then 7 o'clock will be the first service. My dear friend and brother they've known me longer than I've known them personally. But Brother Kirby, would you stand, dear pastor? We'll be bringing the message to us, the 7 o'clock message in the morning. We'll pray 6 to 7, then we'll have the message, then we'll have breakfast, come back, and I'll be speaking to you at 10 o'clock, and then 7:30 every evening. Then we close out Friday at noon here, but then we have a rally where? In Wales. All right. So we'll hear all about that as we go, but I just feel so good being here tonight. Friends from different places I haven't seen in a while, and new friends. I see sister from all the way up at Iceland. God bless you. Amen. And just wonderful, wonderful to be here. I'm going to read from John chapter 1, verse 6. Father, if you please, bless the reading, speaking, hearing, and willing to do this word tonight. If you'll anoint us, oh, to speak, to hear, then everything will be well. Everything will be well. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this prayer, this praise, this worship here tonight. In the name of Jesus. My message, I just felt very strong this first night of this, a man sent from God. A man sent from God. John chapter 1 verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Whose name was John. Here comes this man, strange man from the wilderness of Judea, dressed in camel's hair, an appetite of locusts and wild honey, without any fanfare, without an ad in the Jerusalem Post or on the TV channel, came this strange man. He broke 400 years of darkness, turned the banks of the Jordan into the front street of the world, and introduced the kingdom of God. One man. A man sent from God. How we've underestimated, how we've been tricked into so many things, the church has found itself believing that the number of tares or the number of people we can get into a religious service that affects God. But God's never been affected by crowd. He said, here is the man that I'll look to. He that is of a broken and a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. God takes time. God stops making worlds to stop, to talk, to deal with that man that has time for him. If we do not have time for God, then God has no time for us. But in this message tonight, I want to deal with that, a man sent from God. God's answer to every crisis is a man of God. Now, if you just put aside everything else and do your reading somewhere else, I want to talk to you tonight. Come halfway around the world, and I come here to talk to you. And I believe that God has talked to me to talk to you in this service. No matter what the conditions, how desperate the times, no matter how wicked and perverted the age, to right the situation, God only needed a man through which God could speak and work. Never needed anything else. All God has ever needed. Now that term man is a generic term. You know, it takes in the whole of mankind. But all he's ever needed in every single situation of life was that man. And all that man has ever needed was God. That's what must grip us tonight. It's wonderful to have this keyboard and Sister Candace to lead us in this singing. But it's a privilege, not a necessity. I put to school in Albania, which you know is Illyricum. That's where Paul said in Romans 15 and 19, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I fully preach the gospel to you of Illyricum. Well, modern Albania is ancient Illyricum. While I was there in the mountains, I looked down. It's a beautiful country, but was one of the most complete atheistic countries in this world. Not Muslim, not Christian, nothing was allowed there. The largest sign in the country was on top of the airport, and it said, there is no God. That was the sign. But I looked down across, I began to weep, and a business friend of mine that travels with me, biggest part of the time, Brother White, I began to weep, and he said, why are you weeping, Pastor? I said, I just went back 2,000 years. A man came to this land, 1,200 miles at least from Jerusalem. These heathen never heard of Jerusalem, much less Jesus Christ. But he's got to prove to them that a man died in Jerusalem as a criminal who was the Son of God, and prove that he did, because he made that Christ alive. The only reason for the church is to be a revealer of Christ. We're not here to hold religious meetings. We're not here to keep religion alive. It's not a platform meeting to sing out courses. All of that leads to one thing, that we are here. The vocation of this church is to be a revealer of Christ. And if Christ is not seen and made alive, then that's not God's church. I don't care who you are. He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. And if that church is not alive, then God is not there. This is our reason for being, our only reason for being as a body of Christ, to be the expression of that Christ. God's call has never been for a program. Never did God call a council or a committee to seek an answer to any situation. His only quest is for a man that will stand in that gap. That's all. Whenever times, no matter what it was, God's only need was for that man. History bears witness to this truth, that when God found his man, that man became the total solution to that crisis. Every time. Not one time, every single time. Look back at example. Noah, in the days of the flood. The world had become so rotten that the only solution was to destroy. There's no remedy. But the answer to that awful time was a righteous man by the name of Noah. Noah was perhaps the most successful preacher that ever passed this way. I know that raised a question mark, because there's only 8 converts I can tell you, everybody didn't say be damned. He never missed nobody. No, not one human on this planet. You found nobody hanging onto a limb somewhere. They either lost it or they made it. He missed nobody. But all God needed was a man. When Nineveh was so rotten that a turkey buzzard had to hold its nose to fly over it, all God needed was a preacher. That's all. Every time. All God needed was a man that was in tune with himself. That man come preaching. Look at Joseph and the preservation of Israel. There in that awful time, all God needed. Moses, the deliverance. Jonah, the destruction. Ezekiel and the dry bone. Said they not only said they were dry, they're very dry. And God asked the question, can these bones live? Well, Ezekiel was a wise man. He wasn't smart like a lot of us. We'd have an answer to God. But he looked at the situation and he said to God, you know, only you know whether these bones can live or not. And God said, if I can find a man with enough faith to preach to these bones, Sarah can have a baby. These bones can live. This church in Europe can come alive. We can become the greatest force on this earth in the 21st century if we'll rise up to be the church. If we'll refuse to allow men to intimidate. But we cannot, if there's any ambiguity to our preaching, then it's out. Amen. This is a world that's terrified at dogmatism. But Christianity is not one of many. This is it. There is nothing beyond it. There is no Mary, no Buddha, no Muhammad. There's nobody but Jesus Christ. And that must be preached till this world bows its knee. But if God can find such people, not user-friendly, not secret-sensitive, not tiptoeing around anything, truth never holds parley with anybody. This gospel is a revelation to be proclaimed, not to be apologized. We argue with nobody. We state the truth. You either believe it or you don't believe it. That's not our responsibility. And if the church will come back to this truth, then this nation, this world that we live in will one more time hear the gospel of Christ. But when you stand, when we got big name preachers, one of the biggest, you know, Mr. Hagee, he's a preaching that the harlot system of the book of Revelation is the Church of Rome. Well, I've heard that preached all of my life, all the way back, all the commentaries, all the while. Well, the whole world rose up against it, so he changed history and said I was wrong. That's no time to say I'm wrong about anything. Find out the truth before you say it, and then we must obey God and not a man. The whole preaching of this truth. As a church, we've never faced a greater crisis. Apostasy abounds. Truth is being sacrificed for unity. Another Jesus is being preached. Ungodly, immoral men occupy some of the largest pulpits in the nation where I come from, and I'm sure right here. We have a repeat. My good friend and I, he brought this up to me, and it so registered in my mind. You know, Aesop's fables was the first time, maybe in history, that a lower form of life was used to teach a higher form of life. When you have unregenerate men in this pulpit attempting to preach a higher form of life, you're going to wind up with what we've wound up with in this time. When you have unregenerate men handling this book of life, it doesn't matter how many seminaries they've been to. It doesn't matter. Nothing God has demands a degree. I'm not making an appeal for ignorance, but I am telling you, God can deal and work with any human wherever he is if that human will give themselves to God. It is the foolish things that God takes to confound the wise. The result of all of this, this apostasy and the drive for unity after sacrificing truth, the nations, this one and the one I come from, has lost its moorings. Absolutely. She's adrift in a sea of wickedness and immorality, murdering millions of unborn babies, glorifying homosexuality and adultery, and does not want to retain God in her knowledge. We're beyond the third give-up of God, folks. There's something going on this planet, and God is just simply looking for a voice that's not afraid to preach.
Yes.
You know, I passed through this country years ago. I saw a billboard of an old man and an old lady all hugged up. And this billboard said, "We're out together so that you will stay together." Well, what long saw two men hugged up on another billboard, and they're together that you will stay together. I went home and I said, "I can tell you it's moving west." Yes, sir, it's moving west. Up in Canada, $25,000 fine for preaching against it. I said, "I can tell you it's moving north." And all of it is one thing, whether you believe what you preach or not. I can tell you God's bringing every preacher to the bar. If it's going to cost you a trip to the prison, are you still going to believe what you preach? Are we going to back off and say, "Maybe I'm wrong"? This is the final hour of that church. And somebody must stand up and be that voice of God. I'm as sure as I'm alive, there's going to be Stevens. But I'm as sure as I'm alive, there's going to be a church. That church is going to be victorious. As sure as you're in this building, somebody is going to overcome. Somebody is going to walk with God. Somebody is going to be a testimony. And you and I are being brought to a decision in this hour. This separation from God has literally turned the nations into hell. The Bible said the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell.
Amen.
That don't mean they dumped into fire at that moment, but the very nature. It said Saul was going to meet certain men, and when he met them, he's going to be turned into another man. He began to prosper. That just simply means the nature of Saul was changed. And now, the nation that forgets God, and you know from Europe, from America, wherever you're from, we forgot God. And that's hell out there, folks. We murdered babies by the millions. Not safe everywhere you turn. Our streets have become hell. Everything, the nature of it, simply because there was a forgetting of God Almighty. But the God who never changes has one answer to this deplorable situation, and that's a man that will stand in that gap for him and make up that head. That man that will preach and proclaim what God has said without any hedging whatsoever. Just say what God is. Such a man must be endowed with certain unalterable qualities. Number one, he must be a man of unceasing prayer. Whatever pulls us out of that altar ultimately will pull us out of God.
Amen.
That cannot be. You cannot live otherwise, outside of that altar. Three things Christ said. He said, if any man will be my disciple, number one, he must deny himself. He cannot be a selfish man. He cannot live for himself. That has to go. Second, he must take up that cross. Because that cross is the only thing that will keep that man dead. Nothing else. If you don't take that cross up, then that which was crucified with Christ will come alive in a worse form than he was before he died. But third, follow Christ. Those are the pathway. They are no other. No, absolutely no other. Such a man must be a man of unceasing prayer. Second, he must be a man of one cause. This one thing I do.
Yeah.
A businessman may preach. But a preacher cannot be a businessman. No, no. God separates us under this gospel. There may be times he has to make tents to get things going. But there has to be that time that he knows this is not where I belong. I'm separate. I'm a Levite. I own nothing. God is the inheritance of that man. And when it ceases to be that, then he ceases or becomes ineffective as far as God is concerned. Amen. When we're more concerned about ourselves and the affairs of this life than we are the kingdom of God, then we've missed it. You see, I was born again in the Holiness Church, born again in the Assemblies of God Church, 59 years ago. And the message then was, come out, come out, come out.
Amen.
Well, that is true. You know, separated from. You know, you don't do this, you don't do that. But that just that kind of a thought doesn't do it. It's not a separation from, it's a separation unto. And when a man or woman separate unto God, that takes care of the world, mister, because that's the enemy. I said, that's the enemy. But it's a separation unto God. So that whatever I do, wherever I go, it is always a question, what would God do? In America, I watch preachers change churches every 2 years. God isn't in 10 miles. They're not looking for anything but a better payday. That's all. They're looking for a bigger parsonage. They're looking for a better place to live. Somewhere to increase their fare in life. Not what is the will of God. You see, separate that man. He must be a man of one call. This one thing I do, he must be a man that can withstand rejection even by his own people. You see, Joseph, that's the only way. All of his, everybody rejected. He must be a man that can withstand such a rejection if he's going to be used of God in these final hours. Has to be. And then fourth, he must be a man that can withstand ridicule, hatred, and the lying of the devil. There's always going to be those that lie, tell things that's not true, in an effort to destroy what you are. But all of that is a testament. Are you going to strike back? Are you going to become bitter because they're angry and mean? Are you going to be that? All of this is a testing. You know, when Abraham came finally to Moriah and drew the sword to murder, to sacrifice that lamb, God stopped him and said, I know I can trust you. And if you can count the stars, you'll know how many children I'm going to give you. If you can count those stars. But all of it was a test to see what you're going to do. See, God not only gives, but he must know what you're going to do with it. We receive in his name. We hold in his name. Therefore, he must know before he gives anything of value what you're going to do with it. Amen. You're going to be a prosperity preacher and make everything of earth. Then God has no time for you. I mean, you're a misnomer of everything that this stands for. Amen. You know, I listened to a man preaching, and he said, my faith got me a jet airplane. What has your faith got you? My wife gets upset with me talking to television, but I have to talk. I said, my faith delivered me from the vanity of wanting one. Amen. Yes, I reached millions of people while men play with their little games with religion. This is a dedication unto God. I don't know whether it'll take you or whether it'll take me, but I must be willing to go. I must be willing to. Finally, must be a man of vision, commitment, boldness, and compassion. And if God can find such in this conference, then the devil in Europe is in trouble. That's all. That's all he's ever needed. You know, if such a man can be found in this conference, the only answer to these demonic times is a supernatural intervention of God. We must have revival. It isn't a matter we need revival. We must have revival. There's no changing of things unless God comes. But before there can ever be a revival in that world, there must be a renewal here. Amen. See, this world, the spirit out there is the spirit of evolution. Number one, that is, every one of you and I are just a higher form of an animal. Well, if you believe that, then if you get in my way, then I'll kill you. That's a renewal. Drive-by shootings and murders everywhere. Life means nothing. Or else it's a reincarnation of Hinduism where there are no accidents. Somebody break in, rape your wife, murder your children. Don't worry about it. That's how it had to be for you to come up in a little higher form of things. That's the spirit that prevails. But when that church is renewed, and this river begins to flow again of the Holy Spirit of God, then everything is changed. Everything changes. While we are there, it's always been a revival come. One of the great signs is a deadness in that church and a lawlessness in that world. The man that wrote Commentaries of Law, his name never does come to me when I want it, but just the same, he said, 1 month before the Wesleyan revival broke out, he couldn't find a gospel church in all of London. all of London. They had little step ladders. If that bar like that would have a little step ladder that 4 and 5 year old children would climb up and have a drink. That's where it was. But when that revival swept, all of that changed. Everything changed. Men's hearts turned toward eternity. It isn't the matter. We need it. We must have it, folks. If we're going to survive, if we're going to be. And if it happens, it's going to take this kind of people. Now, we're witnessing, I believe, the final countdown. This is not a war of flesh and blood. It's Christ and Antichrist. It's light and darkness, good and evil. It won't be won with swords and bombs. God must rend those heavens and come down. Oh, that God rend the heavens and come down. That the mountains would melt at your presence. That's the only answer to these all. For God to intervene in the affairs of man, he must have that old man in place. You know, when the Bible talks, old men dream dreams. Now, that word old man, that has nothing to do with age. It translates a word where we get our word presbyter. It means the man, the overseer of God. It's that pastor, the voice of God in that church. So you see, before that can ever be renewed, he must get that old man into play. Old men, Acts 2, are the mouthpiece of God. Same word, we get that overseer, presbyter. God must have his old man who will go into that holy of holies and wait there till he dreams that dream, till he hears what God is saying. He didn't scramble around on a Saturday night trying to find something to say to people coming to church. It's to wait in that presence of God until we hear what heaven is saying and then say it to that church. God said, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
But to be God's voice, we must separate the clean from the unclean. He said, if you separate the clean from the unclean, then you can be my voice. That simply means separate that flesh from the spirit. Amen. You have to be able to discern what's God and what's not God. And if we'll do that, we'll be his voice, and his sheep will hear that voice. That's the guarantee of God. They will hear that voice. Now, God must have those old men that wait there. He must go from that holy place to proclaim to that church what he's seen and heard. He must. See, God's method of talking has always been to one man. God himself never talks to the crowd. He talks to one man, and through that man to his body. Now, Israel heard him. He said, no, let him talk to you, and you talk to us. You know, they got the second hand, been that way pretty well. But God has a man, always, wherever he can find that man, that he can talk to, and that man, without changing it, will speak what God says, then the world is in trouble now.
Amen.
There's nothing can stand. Moses didn't go to Egypt with a plan, folks. He went there to do what he was told. He had no idea what he was going to do. He's just going to do what he's told. And he delivered 3 million people from the mightiest empire on this earth. That ought to tell us something. We don't need a new program. We've been fornicating with them Hagars long enough. We filled the church with Ishmaels and not Isaac. We must repent, come back to God's altar, and we need Pentecost one more time.
Amen.
There is no hope. Man said to me, I don't like to hear that. Well, that's the way it is anyway. Sometimes it's hard to say what you have to say. Now, we have the perfect example as said with Moses. The anointing oil came on Aaron's head, came down to his beard, which means his mouth. His mouth. He was, Moses couldn't talk, so he became the second half of the old man. He was Moses' mouthpiece. He spoke for him. Moses was God's answer to the situation. Once God got Moses back in Egypt, it's over with Pharaoh. There's going to be a battle. It's going to be a war. But the decision has already been made, because God put in the bosom of that man everything to deliver them people. And Pastor, wherever you are, if you're there in the will of God, I promise you, whatever is necessary is inside of you. It's in you. It's not out there somewhere. It's in there. You're full of the Holy Ghost. Moses was a seer, Zakan, that's what. He alone had the word from God. All came on Moses, God's old man. Since Moses couldn't speak, Aaron became his mouthpiece. He was the second half of the old man. All on him, Moses, to the beard, mouthpiece, to the skirts, the body of believers. That's the way it's always been. Always been there. All comes down on the old man, flows through him to the body of believers, through them to the world. The day of Pentecost, God never poured that Spirit out on Jerusalem. Poured it out on 120 people and threw them to a world. That's all he looks for today, is that people. That will be there. That will be there. Now, who is the chief cornerstone? Jesus. Now, I can tell you folks, he's full of oil. I said he's full of oil. Oh, he has more than enough. He's full of all, but he must have his old man. There's mouthpiece. For God to heal a situation, that preacher must dream his dream and bring that back to that body pure and clear. He must bring it back to that congregation. A pure, clear message from God. This world's in trouble. Man and wife both have to work to make a living, even to eat most of the time. And they come to church. They don't care about the politics. They want to know, does God know where I am? Is there any answer to where I am? Does God know I'm alive? They go to church to hear from heaven. And if that were to happen, there'll be a path to that door. If that man knows, if I go there. See, they ought to, if they're sick, it ought not to be getting me to the hospital if I can just get to that church.
Yeah.
If I can get, yeah. Just get to that church.
Yes, amen.
You know, one Sunday morning, 25 years ago, there's a, that old church seat about 700. You couldn't get, 10 more people in it that morning. And a couple come in late. Only two seats right down the front. Well, it brought him down, and man and his wife, and in the preaching, I come down off that platform, walking down that aisle, and when I got where they were, I just, without any thought, I said to her, you're going to live and not die. And I wondered why I said that. Well, she began to weep. And I kept preaching. After the service, she comes still weeping. This is Sunday morning. She said, 2 days ago, Friday afternoon, I'm in the hospital in Houston, and the doctor comes in and says, all the tests are back. And said to her, said, if you live 30 days, you'll live 2 weeks longer than I believe you can live. It's no hope. And he walked out, left my husband, and I alone. My husband began to weep. And she said, don't weep. Said, I've been watching there in Houston, that's 80 miles away. And said, I've been watching a church on Beaumont, Texas, on television from Beaumont, Texas. And I believe if I could get there, I'd be all right. That was her word. She wasn't a Pentecostal lady, but she had heard. Well, that morning, they got there. She was totally healed. I never saw her for 6 months. She gained about 50 pounds. Wasn't happy about that, but she was well. You know, she was well. God made her whole. But see, she said, if I can just get there. That woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just touch it. Well, you can't make that church one thing and Christ something else. He's the head. I'm the body. We're the body. You can't make the church something, Christ something else. And that church ought to be, if I can just get there. When I was teaching a school in Sweden a number of years ago, I became desperately ill. They had just carried me out, and the two of the fellows helped me up the stairs. The next morning, the older son of the pastor said, you know, I thought you was going to die. I said, I was afraid I wouldn't. I was so sick. I've never been so sick. Well, the pastor called me the next morning. He said, you know, Brother Clinton, you don't have to come this morning. Oh, I said, Brother Magnus, I must come. No, we'll do. I said, no, I must be where God is and not above. Well, I went there, and I've never been more well in my life when I left there. Amen. God healed me. But see, I just knew I must get there where that river's flowing. And if the church is that, I can tell you this country will be looking for that. People in trouble. That's where he multiplied millions of them belong to that New Age movement. They're looking for something somewhere outside of themselves. Let the church be the church. And they found that answer. For God to heal a situation, he must have that. The requirement of that old man in the kingdom is to see what God sees and hear what he hears. You can't do that running up and down the road. You're not a glorified business manager. You can't hear from heaven. And if you don't have God, what good are you doing anyway? You know, I told the people, I said, why should I come to that hospital unless just pay a visit, unless I have God? And they said, if we're going to have God, I've got to pray. We're going to have to spend time with God. If you're going to be much doing things, people, you've got to spend a lot of time with God to hear what's going on with God. The whole. Amen. The seer sees in that throne room, comes back with Moses, like Moses, with a shine on his face, telling people what God said to him. Now, old man must dream his dream before God can intervene and revival come. Somebody's got to hear from heaven. It isn't going to come through these religious programs. No, it's never been. God never, never, you know, turned to a committee to see what to do. I read somewhere, somebody said a camel was a horse designed by a committee. And I believe that's about right. You know, I think they picked that out. You know, one meaning of a dream is on the inside, a divine hypnosis. That means that God is so kind to the man of God that his own senses don't matter him. He's hearing from heaven. And whatever's going on around him doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the stock market's crashing. It doesn't matter that it looks like everything's ended. He's heard from heaven. Amen. He has touched this God. His natural hearing, seeing, talking, doesn't matter. He's caught up. God is filling it. He's hearing from heaven. This is the man that God has called to be this, to do this. And from that, he goes before that church to preach, to bring God's word to that church. Now, this man is right. You know, this man is right. He's heard from God, and that's a combination that wins every time. There's absolutely nothing beyond that. Amen. God's reason for calling Aaron was the fact he said, I know he can speak well. You know, in Exodus 4:10-14, listen. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither there hitherfore, nor since I've spoken to thy servant, but I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. And the Lord said, and who made man's mouth? Who maketh thee dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth. Teach thee what thou should say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, the hand of him that thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, if not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother, I know he can speak well. Also, behold, he come forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he'll be glad in his heart. Now, God's reason for calling Aaron was, he said, I know he speaks well. Speech is an awesome power. Oh my, you cannot overestimate the awesome power of speech. When that man especially speaks for God, it's an awesome. The foremost instrument of God is speech. Through the foolishness, not of singing, but preaching. Amen. God chose to sing. Amen. You know, it's wonderful to sing. I'm not saying that those musicians were numbered. God called that man to stand there in that gap and make up that hit. It's the foremost instrument of God has been speech. When he said to Ezekiel, prophesy unto them bones, it wasn't just to say, thus saith the bones, come alive, but he had to deal with those bones. Why are you dead in the first place? Make them confess that they're dead because of their own sin. That prophesying is not just predicting the future. That's a small part of it. It's bringing the thing back to the real truth of God, and then things live. It died because it moved away from God. Then the world was created by the Word of God, and God's Word from the preacher is to recreate that world. That's what it's all about. That's the Word of God. A man speaks in the Holy Spirit. He speaks life. Not just words, he speaks life. You know, I tell his testimony everywhere. Man came into meeting blind, had big blinders on his eye. Amen. He just absolutely, I don't know whether he's light sensitive or what. But in the prayer time, they brought him across the platform. And when I went to pray for him, I just said, you'll see in the morning. Well, the devil jumped on that. But I thought, I just said, you'll see in the morning. Well, I was there early the next night. It was under a tent. and I'm going to watch it. Well, he drove the car. So I knew, at least he saw. I don't know what's wrong with him. So when we got the service started, I had him stand and called him up. And I said, "What's your name, Charles Arnold? Where are you from?" "New Iberia, Louisiana." I said, "You come across here last night, patches over your eyes. What was wrong with you?" He said, "What was wrong with me?" He said, "I'm a mud engineer in the oil field, and there was an acid explosion, and my eyes, they took my eyeballs out. I have no eyeballs when I come across this platform, but I woke up, two brown eyes, 20/20 vision. I spoke by the Holy Spirit." A man speaks life when he speaks by that Spirit. But you got to walk and live with God. You can't run around town as a glorified business manager and speak for God. We've got to know He is our only inheritance, and come back to that, and we'll find it. Ministers are speakers by profession. Therefore, the power of speech flowing through God's anointed, fearless man of God is one of the most urgent needs of our time. That man is not afraid to speak. "Ought we to obey God or you?" That's what he said to that high priest. "I've got a message from God, and I'm going to speak that." God's only answer is a fire-baptized preacher. Listen in Acts 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them." See, this is not a shapeless flame, not Abraham's lamp, not the pillar of fire of the desert, not the coal of fire touched Isaiah. It was a tongue of fire. That's what came on that day. Here was a symbol of the new dispensation. The church is born. Here's a symbol. Christianity was to be a tongue of fire. That was to be the symbol of its power, the power whereby that new kingdom was to be built out. But when that church begins to move away from the Holy Spirit, then everything begins to take the place of preaching, singing, theatrics, mimes, all of this, you know. You got all these clowns. I had, when we were in Russia, where this church was born, had a group of people come over, and we had a place where they could stay. We had an apartment, six-story apartment, and so they could stay there $10 a day. Well, when they come over for breakfast, a lot of them around the table, I didn't know, had on clown suits. And I went over to the table, I said, "What? Where are you going? What are you doing?" "Well, we're going down to Red Square." "What for?" "Well, to witness for Jesus." I said, don't say anything about the School of Christ." I said, don't you mention, you know what. I said, "I don't know who you are." But I said, don't you mention you know anything about us. I said, "We don't have no clown." I said, "You know what a clown always is? Don't take me serious. That's the whole thing about it. There's not a clown, folks. I mean, you take me serious. I come here." Amen. But that's what takes the place. When you go, when we get away from God, then you go to play down preaching. That's all. This tongue of fire has always been. Amen. Always been. Here was a symbol of that new dispensation, a tongue of fire. Symbol of their power. The spiritual stamp of Christianity was the symbol which once and for all announced to the church the advent of her conquering power. John came preaching. He never had a guitar, never had a donkey, but he turned the banks of that Jordan into the front street of the world. He heard from heaven, and he's down that preaching. Even the king is out there. I mean, that is the message of this gospel. The power by which she was to stand before kings, confound synagogues, silence council, steal the mobs, confront the learned, illuminate the senses, and stir the dead was that tongue of fire. Preach this gospel. Pray yourself full. Preach yourself empty. There's a hope out there. If God could just find the people that are not afraid to say, not afraid to wait to hear, they're not afraid to say. I know a lot of things are against the law. It's against the law for them. We obey the law till that law forbids us to be what we're to be. Then we do what we have to do. God never needed a lot of them. Wesley said, "Give me 10 men. Fear nothing but God, hate nothing but sin. I'll change the way they live." He must have found them. I said, that little man must have found men of God that weren't afraid to say, by this power, beginning at Jerusalem, she was to proclaim this glory to the uttermost part of the earth. This symbol is a tongue, man's speech to his fellow man, a message in human words to human family, from understanding, from heart to heart. That's what it was, a tongue of fire, man's voice, God's truth, man's speech, the Holy Ghost inspiration, a human organ, a superhuman power. Men of God preaching the Word of God with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven, not then or now can you resist that. Not then or now. That's all that's lacking. God, find that man. Let him rise up to that occasion. Then it always, when God found the Luther, it's over with the Roman church at that time. No matter how powerful, no matter what they were, they'll burn him at a stake, but they couldn't burn him. Just like the lions couldn't eat Daniel, that man of God had come on the scene with a message from God, and the devil is in trouble. That's all that God looks for tonight. Not a new program. They invent them every day. The church has become a circus. Everything from rock and roll to belly dancing has come to the church. I see people in church with less clothes on, let my daughter go to bed with, and they talk about holiness. Listen, I know no special program is that. I can tell you a holy life will produce a holy people, because everything produces after its kind. It isn't that I keep your rules of religion. It's that there's a life in me that says this is the way to live. I live this way because I want to live this way. I'm as free a man as ever was. In 59 years, I haven't gone to two of their movies because I didn't want to. I didn't want their movies. I don't need to be entertained by them. The Bible said, in his presence is fullness of joy, and that is right here. All the pleasure a human ever needs. All of it. You know, this nothing then or nothing now could stand but support such human firebrand. Who can mistake or ignore a fire? There's nothing so fascinating as a fire. You let a building get a fire, let flames going up, it'll stop every car, everybody. Nothing so fascinating, amen, as that. The difference between true Christianity and dead religion is fire. That's the difference. The difference between one preacher and another preacher is fire. Every truly Holy Ghost baptized life will manifest and vindicate itself. All men will know you're mine. It will vindicate itself. It doesn't have to have the advertisements, the introduction. It will make room. The vindication will not be in intellectual cleverness, but in burning, glowing fervor which purifies whatever it touches. A word that cannot be resisted. Men either leave or stay. Amen. They either get in or out. It's savor unto life or unto death. That this Christianity excites the worst and the best passions of men. You're either going to kill this Christ or worship him. There's nobody stands off and say he's all right. When he's presented as God intends for him to be presented. When Christ is really, truly, absolutely made real, then this is the way it's going to be. Now, the vindication, the only answer to present the spiritual, to the present spiritual catastrophe is a Holy Ghost and fire baptism. Return to that altar. Return to Pentecost. Bring those vessels back in that altar and keep them there till they're full of God again. It's not a human thing. We cannot cope with it. The greatest need of the modern church is power in that pulpit. That's the greatest single. As the preacher goes, so goes the church. That church you preach is dead. Somebody killed. A preacher killed it sometime. Amen. A shepherd has done this, was God's verdict on every single thing. As the church goes, so goes the nation. This is seen so clearly in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, Christianity faced the world. A new religion, a poor religion without money, without a college, without a priesthood, and with 120 people. She had only one instrument of aggression. That was that tongue of fire. They had nothing else. Peter stood that day and preached. God said, the Bible said, God spoke and the earth melted. God spoke to an ignorant fisherman and the earth melted, and 3,000 men were born again that day. Hallelujah. Oh, church, this is where we must go. We must drop a lot of the foolishness of trying to win a world with a stupid religious program. It's to make Christ alive one more time. She had only one instrument of aggression, her tongue of fire. No passion of the mob. No theory of the learned. No interest of the politic favored her, nor did she favor or conciliate any one of them. She had a message to preach. What you want to hear tonight, we're preaching it. They went everywhere. Jesus said, if they won't listen, shake the dust off. Somebody will hear you down the road. Don't make the message fit the occasion. You preach what I get. If they don't want to hear, then that's their problem. You move on. Somebody will hear if we'll preach this gospel. With a tongue of fire, that young church assailed every existing system, every evil habit, and by that tongue she burned her way through all forms of opposition. 120 people come out of that upper room. That was the church of the living God. All of Rome set herself against her. She's murdered 68 million of us, but Rome has been in hell 1,000 years, and you and I are still here tonight. Amen. I said, we're still here tonight. That's the church of the living God. That's the church he's coming after. Not a broke down religious system, but a church full of himself. A church speaking for God with the tongue of fire. Christianity has never in any period sustained herself except by the power of fire, baptized preaching. No. It isn't the little dramas. No, that may fit somewhere. But they never went around to the little drama show. They had no mimes. They had a message to preach. Wherever they found a crowd, they preached it. I said they proclaimed. In every crisis of history, God's only need is men full of the Holy Ghost who will speak the word of the Lord, not with the wisdom the world teaches, but with the power and wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Whenever God can find such, then hell is in trouble. All the time. That's all he's ever needed. That's what he's saying here tonight. Man of God, woman of God, all God needs is you to be full of himself. That's all. Come back to that all. You don't need a plan. You need to do what you're told. But to do what you're told requires you wait upon God. You know, when I was 70 years old, I was pastoring a church that I founded in the past 35 years. And then I'd been to Eastern Europe. I'd preached in the communist countries, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, all through there, but never in Russia proper. Then when it all come apart, you could go in there, I went. And while I was there, I saw 75 years without a Bible. They were totally in lack of leadership. There was nothing. You know, they mixed up with the Orthodox. They believe that wine turned to blood and that bread turned to flesh. You know, all this kind of thing that got into it. They believe every man, you got saved. If his brother here got saved, he'd have to confess every sin he ever did. I said, well, Peter would still be there listening to 2,000 people, you know. But that's the kind of a thing that got into it. And God spoke to me that he wanted me to resign that church and move to Russia and begin this school. I never got to go to Bible school, much less run one. You know, I just, you know, this is, and I have no money, and I'm old enough to be dead. He only promised 7. You know, he said, you'd be strength, you go any further. So I'm old enough to be dead. That's a dark, dark moment. But I will to do his will, and that's all that was necessary. Let me tell you, 16 years later, $26 million have come through this house. I had no money tonight. Didn't have none then. 26 million of and 145 countries of this world. Simply because. Never had no tricks, no acts, most of the time. Never have anybody to sing a song. I've had to preach through 4 interpreters. Almost forgot what a sin time had got back. But yet God took it and saved and turned the world.
Amen.
Amen. Thousands and thousands of churches. Simply because I will to do what he said. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I will to do the will of God, and that's what faith is. It isn't positive confession. It isn't positive action. It is willing to do whatever he told. Don't matter what you feel like. If you know that's what God wants, now it's his responsibility. Yours is to commit. And all he's ever needed was that man of God. Is there such people in this country? Over the next 3 days, God's going to deal with our heart in prayer, in the Word of God. He's going to deal with our hearts because all God has ever needed was a man. And as that man goes, that church will go. And as that church goes, that nation will go. That corruption outside is only a mirror of the corruption on the inside. That's hard for you to imagine. But it never could have been if the church had remained the church. They walk in darkness because we don't give them any light. But let us rise to this occasion. Be that voice. Be that man, that woman of God in the South. And we can yet become the greatest force on this planet. Sarah can yet have a baby. These bones can live. But it must have a man that will preach to them. Would you stand with us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless. Lift your hands. Just open up. David said, let the lifting up of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. Oh, God, that just means a total, absolute surrender.